Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, December 22nd. We're a couple days before Christmas. I'm joined yet once again by the beautiful Kay Brandt. Welcome to the show, Kay.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me on the last day of, it's not the last day of the year.
No,
but,
not yet.
But 2 days before Christmas is a good time to join me.
I hate when Christmas is on a Monday.
Really? Why?
I mean, it just like... It compounds everything I feel about the holidays because it's a really inconvenient time to have a holiday on a Monday. It's one, you know what I mean? It's like it throws everything off for the weekend because it's like, Okay, so Sunday is Christmas Eve.
Right. I know. So, like many times it's on a Thursday or something, right?
I'm cool with it being towards the end of the week from Wednesday to Sunday. But when Christmas falls on a Monday, that's just another reason for me to just step out.
Okay. So we'll make a special request for you, Kay.
Okay.
Maybe next year we can change
that. To the calendar system.
We'll talk to the stars and the sun and the moon.
Yeah. You know, you can do that.
Yeah. So, I'm glad to be here actually live this morning.
Me
because
too.
I always love being here.
Yes.
And there was no traffic
because the good thing about holiday breaks is that when schools are closed and people take off the Friday before a holiday, there was no traffic.
I know, and that's amazing,
took
right?
me 40 minutes to get here, when normally it takes me a little bit over an hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is that how long it takes you with traffic, over an hour?
Yes.
Wow.
Man, I don't know. I used to drive that every morning and, you know, early in the morning. So
yeah.
I would fall asleep in that stop-and-go traffic. It's very dangerous.
And it's not consistent, though. Like, it's flows and then it stops completely.
Right,
and then
right.
it flows and it stops completely. So it's just, like, enough to drive you insane.
Right. And sometimes you get, it's like you stopped completely and then a couple miles down the road, everybody's doing 80. And you go, how did this happen? But, you know, I read a lot about...
I think my lucky stars when that happens.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like it opens and I mean, almost every traffic jam is that, you know, and then you ask yourself, how could I have been at a stop when people a mile ahead of me are going 80 miles an hour? Well, the thing is that I've read a lot about traffic and stuff. It's interesting to me. So there's a lot of theories about traffic on the freeways, but one of them is the spring theory. It works like a spring when you think about it. It's like, you know, a few cars stop, then all the ones behind it get close, and then it opens up again, you know. So it's like elastic almost, you know, and that's the way it seems. So I guess if there's enough brakes and stuff going on, it's going to slow the traffic down quite a bit.
And construction and lanes merging together.
Right, and
that.
Accidents, which happen a lot.
Yeah.
And the cops will just stop the traffic completely until they clear off the... And that's depressing when that happens. You don't know when you're going to get out of there.
Exactly.
You know?
I've been in those where all lanes are stopped. I once was on the 405 freeway heading north. There was a motorcycle accident, and the motorcyclist died on near UCLA, that area right there. Actually, near where the vets are, the hospital.
Yeah, the hospital, VA, yeah.
So that's like a busy, busy area, the 405. It's before you approach all the LAX traffic, but you're still in the city. And all lanes of traffic were cut off. It was like Armageddon. There was no way to move for 3 hours.
Wow.
People were out of standing. We just got out of their car because there's no way to sit
like
that.
Right.
People were walking off of the freeway to go find like food. You know? I mean, like that's when you go, shit, I should have water. I should have all this stuff because
in
for
my
3
car,
hours
right.
I sat in my car and I was in the fast lane. So
there's no way you're getting out.
Oh my God.
I know. Those are like, I mean, that is just what they call soul crushing. You know? It's like you can't deal with it. It's too much. And we have that a lot in LA. So, you know. But anyway, fuck the traffic for now. We're facing Christmas. Everybody's happy, in a good mood. I'm staying in town. I imagine you are too.
No.
You're getting out?
Well, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I have to visit my parents.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, you don't like it? Do you have to fly, drive?
No, it's driving.
Oh, okay, cool. Driving may not be bad on the weekend.
It's fine.
You know? People stay at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a guest on the phone, and we're going to talk about a fascinating guy. He's very young.
Yeah, read what
and wrote a book and everything, and
that's cool.
Video games and all that. So yeah. That should be exciting, and we'll talk to him when he calls in. And yeah, lots going on. And I don't know if I want to get into the news or anything, but but yeah, because it's kind of boring, you know. But
I can tell you something.
Okay, tell me something, okay. And then we'll get into.
So
this.
Yesterday, I posted on Facebook that one of my rude holiday realizations is that greeting cards are. I've always known that they're extraordinarily expensive for basically two pieces of paper,
yeah.
But. I paid $5, and I oftentimes pay $8 for a really nice greeting card.
That's a lot of money.
And then I thought, what the hell is happening here? Why are we spending $5 to $8 on a card? And Amazon tells me that my books are not worth anything more than 99 cents. So greeting card versus a novel or a novella, even a short, a greeting card is worth more money,
right.
And gets more money than a work of literature. Yeah. Okay? Okay. So that's when I gave a little disclaimer to anybody who's interested in reading my books that January 1st, I'm going to raise all my prices. I'm no
Good
longer.
For you.
Well,
don't sell yourself short. Yeah.
My publisher had suggested I do this like a month ago because she did it with all of her books. She just raised all of her prices, but she's a higher profile author than I am. She's a New York Times bestseller. So, but, you know, we all kind of fell into this Amazon thinking, which is 99 cents is all you can sell a book for on Amazon, or else nobody's going to buy it if it's $2.99. Can you imagine?
That's terrible.
Oh, it's a work of literature. It's not worth $3. But this greeting card is worth $6. So
right.
Let's do that because we need to send cards out to everybody. But we don't need to read anything. I don't know. You know, I'm just tired of playing the game.
In marketing, price is sometimes a value indicator.
Yeah.
And if you put it at 99 cents, people might think, oh, it's not worth reading. I'm not going to read that.
No, people actually think that it's too much. They want it for free.
Too much? Oh, it's too much.
Yes, we found
I don't know. When I look at a 99 cent book, I'm like, why are they giving it away? Maybe it's not worth
right.
a lot.
And that's horrible because that's
what I'm saying.
Amazon's created that.
Right, right.
This whole thing of bargain basement prices.
Right, but the thing is that like bigger authors can sell for more, right?
Yeah, but they don't often because,
right.
And a lot of times when a book has some years on it,
right.
Like the first book in my World of Cherry series is 3 years old now, and it's free. But I just recently did that because it is still consistently my best-selling book. Like it has outsold everything else that I've written. I have 26 books out,
right.
You know, but the rest of the series, there's five books in total at the moment. And there's like a lag. You can see where the sales sort of drop off as the series progresses. Either they know the reader doesn't get around to reading them, they sit in their Kindle, or they just get distracted by something else, or worst case scenario, they've lost interest completely, which I find hard to believe because this is the World of Cherry series gets better as it goes.
Really?
And me like blowing smoke. That's true. It really does. And, and so I recently just put that one free and then raised the prices of the next four to $2.99 from 99 cents. They were all 99 cents and they were not, it didn't matter.
Exactly.
They're selling exactly the same now as they did when they were 99 cents. But I felt this sense of fear that I should not question the Zon and I should do what they suggest, which is books are really worthless and not worth anything because there's a huge amount of books that Amazon sells. So how do you, but it doesn't matter anymore. I'm tired of playing the game. And Selena, my publisher, Selena Kitt, the one who I made her best-selling movies into books, I mean, her best-selling books into movies,
uh-huh.
Babysitting the Baumgartners and Adventures with the Baumgartners, suggested, because she said, this is what I've done. I'm taking all of my books out of Kindle Unlimited, and I'm taking, because it's not worth it. We get paid pennies on a page read.
That's what I figured. Yeah, yeah, I know.
And we're not, I'm not, I maybe make $5 or $10 a month, and I have seven shorts in Kindle Unlimited. Yeah. And then she raised the prices of all of her books. And I'm going to do the same thing because I have a novel that's $2.99.
Right.
And
besides, look, the nice thing online is you can test things quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you test different prices. But you see what happens to the sales and you can adjust. You
right.
know?
I understand that sometimes readers get burned by authors who aren't very good or don't put out a great product. But that's just part of the game. I mean, I could say the same thing for cosmetics or anything else, you know, or mainstream films. You know, you spend a ton of money, $20 to see a movie, and if it's crap, you can get your money back afterwards. But how many people do that? You know?
Yeah. I don't know. You get your money back if it's crap? What do you mean?
If you're not happy. I mean, the only time that ever happened to me, and actually, I don't think I actually went through with telling them, but I went to go see Transformers in 3D, and that was a gigantic mistake.
Oh, you mean at the theater?
Yeah, at the theater.
Okay, at the theater. Yeah,
I've never had a migraine in my life until I sat and watched Transformers in 3D.
Oh, my God. Why did you? Why would you go see Transformers?
I was talked into it. Not only was it incredibly expensive to see it in IMAX, but it was such a loud movie. Like, not soundtrack loud, but noise special effects sound loud.
Right.
And like metal crashing, breaking, this, that. My ears were like, you know, like I just wanted to scream, and the 3D effects were overwhelming and shit was flying at me the whole time. And I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to either vomit in this theater or I have to go.
It yeah, yeah. No, you have to really be prepared for something like that. You know, the same with virtual reality and
stuff. It was a god-awful movie to begin with. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But then to add in the 3D component was just like...
Right, I know. I've never seen a 3D movie before. I don't have any desire to sit there with those glasses for 2 hours, you know?
You know,
it's a good thing for like a three-minute thing or something.
The nature movie, the IMAX nature movies were fantastic. Like right. I saw Yosemite. They did a whole thing on Yellowstone and Yosemite and national parks and natural wonders and all this. And that is super cool.
Yeah, it was probably shorter than watching a whole movie. Right. I mean, Transformers, what, 2 hours to sit like that?
Just
no,
about.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I know. So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's what's going on. I did want to bring up the fact that after we come back from holidays, marijuana is going to be legal in California.
Right.
Recreational marijuana is going to be legal. Now, I have to say that I voted no on that because,
why?
Let me tell you why. Because I'm a medicinal marijuana patient, right?
Right.
And, well, our guest is calling, so let's go back to that later.
Oh, okay, sure.
All right, let's go ahead and take the guest. We're going to be joined by Harley Zedmona. Harley, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, good morning. How are
good
you?
Good morning.
Hi, nice to be here with you.
Yeah,
Rachel.
Yeah, we have. Well, actually, this is Kay sitting with me today. I wanted to tell you our connection is kind of bad. Can you call us back on another line? Just hang up and
sure,
call
sure.
back. Yeah, because you're cutting out. All right. Yeah, I don't know, but so he's a gamer turned storyteller, and you know, a young gentleman. So I'm looking forward to talking to him, and.
Yeah.
And see what's behind that. I mean, you're
sure.
a writer.
Yes.
You know, you've got a lot of background and stuff, so it's always interesting to talk to people who do similar things, you know.
And writing a book is not an easy task.
Not an easy task. I mean, I'd like to write at least one or two, but it seems like so insurmountable for me that it's tough, you know.
It starts with the first word.
First step,
you
exactly.
have to make the commitment to actually get a sentence on paper.
Right.
And then take your process from there. The worst thing that you can do in any attempts to try to write is to force an idea, to fool yourself into thinking that your ego is running the show and that what you're writing is brilliant. And then on the opposite side of that is being overly critical of your writing to the point where you just delete everything and are left with nothing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Let's try Harley again. Hi, Harley.
Hi, Sam. Is this a little better?
Yeah, a little better. Where are you calling us from this morning, Harley? Where do you live?
New York.
Oh, New York. New York City?
Queens.
Awesome. Wow, Queens. That's near the Corona Ice King, which I've talked about on this show before, which is my favorite place to get Italian ice.
Yeah. Do you know that place, Harley?
Huh?
Do you know that place?
I'm not quite familiar with the Corona area. I'm more of a Forest Hills kind of guy.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, Harley, so the release said that you're a gamer turned storyteller, gamer, I presume, video games. Tell us a little bit about your background in that. How long have you been into video games?
Well, I mean, since I can remember, I've had my parents on my back telling me about how it's going to hurt my eyes. So
yeah, right.
Quite a long time for sure.
Wow.
Probably I started around 6, 7, and I've only been playing them more often, I guess, as I've grown up.
Yeah, yeah. Now, may I ask how old you are? You're young still, right?
Yeah, yeah. When I first published my book, I was 16. Now I'm 17.
Oh, wow. So. You published a book at 16, and that's what fascinates me, you know. So, yeah, you know, so what I'd like to know is what brought you to write a book? I mean, what made you think you could actually do it at 16? I mean, I'm like 57 now. I don't think I can do it. So how did you get that idea and that courage to do this?
Well, I definitely didn't start at 16. I started around 13, actually. But I guess I was kind of surrounded by not just video games, but also the whole like superhero movie genre was kind of getting popular around that time.
Right.
And Game of Thrones I was into as well. And I was just also like just inspired by all the kind of like world building and character building going on.
Right.
That I kind of wanted to do something of my own.
That's cool.
But as a 13-year-old, I didn't really have any means of making a video game or, you know, writing a script for a HBO series. So I started writing my own story on the computer and then kind of just took off from there.
That's cool. Now, did you ever have, before that, did you have like talent or the inclination to write? Were you like a good writer before?
I wrote some cringy fan fiction, as you might say.
That's what...
before that, but nothing too serious.
Yeah. Very cool, man. I'm really impressed by this. So, now, at six years old, what kind of games do you start playing that are appropriate for that age, for example?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I was necessarily playing games that were 100% appropriate for my age all the time, but well, when I was six, it was kind of like the
Mario Brothers and all
simple
that stuff.
Like yeah, Mario,
yeah,
and
Donkey Kong, and
just
all
the simple games. And then as you kind of grow older, you have more interest in kind of storytelling and
right
complex characters, more stuff like that.
Right. So is your genre more like RPGs, like role playing with those fantasy worlds and stuff like that? Is that your direction?
Yeah, it's inspired a lot by that kind of stuff. I would say the genre would be science fiction, fantasy, epic.
Oh, wow.
For our Guardian Renegade.
Right. And that's amazing. So you created the whole world. Your book is called Our Guardian Renegade. And so tell us a little bit about the plot. What is it about? How did you mix fantasy with reality and science fiction?
Well, when I say science fiction fantasy, I mean like it's a almost like perfect cross of that, meaning like there's a lot of elements of technology and I guess complex themes of society, but there's also magic and kind of more fantasy elements as well.
Right.
So it's about two city-states in this kind of war-torn world. One is a sanctuary known as Whiteheart, and the other one is the hub for an empire known as the Syndicate Empire of Avalon. So the story, the protagonists are on the side of this sanctuary that wants to protect the world from this the grasp of this Syndicate Empire. And it follows mainly this general named Amber in White Hart, who formed this sort of special ops, kind of like X-Men style, Avenger style team of heroes she gathers from around the world.
Right. Wow, that's fascinating, man. So, you know, I know a lot of people that like are into these worlds and they want to create their own and stuff, but you know, creating like, now this world you created, is that on Earth, the story you're telling, or is that somewhere else?
No, no, it's a completely fictional world. And fictional, I actually, I find world. That easier, I would say, than writing a story on Earth, because you can kind of create your own rules, you can create your own of boundaries for your society and your characters, and sometimes people are kind of turned off by that, but I think that's a little easier for me personally, writing that way.
No, I mean, some people love that stuff, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, that's who you're writing for, you know, the people that really can appreciate this, because worlds, you are, like you said, you're creating new rules. Did you create a new language too, or did you have to deal with that in your story?
Several, actually. And this is also the first in a series that I'm co-writing with my girlfriend, who's also an author. We've already created several languages that will also come into play in later installments as well. So we're planning ahead for this, so to speak.
Yeah, cool. That's very cool, man. So, I mean, this is very creative, you know. So, I wanted to ask you, let's talk a little bit about, since, you know, you're a gamer and everything, and you've had a lot of time to think about this, some of the effects of video games. I mean, your parents told you about your eyes and stuff. Is there anything that you can admit that could be hurting game players?
You know, one thing I definitely suffer from is daydreaming. I'm constantly in situations where I really shouldn't be thinking about, you know, my books and kind of writing stories and creating new things.
Right.
I'm constantly in that kind of state, whether I like it or not. I think video games kind of have to blame for that. But it's a bit of a double-edged sword, I would say, because it can be a little hard to control that kind of...
Can I ask you a question?
That, like, urge to... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Are you, by any chance, ADD or ADHD?
I haven't been tested, but I wouldn't doubt that.
Video games, you know, that's the connection, is that especially children who are addicted to video games, there's usually some type of connection to an attention deficit disorder. And that's perfectly fine because you found a way to deal with it. It absorbs your attention, just like the internet for anyone who
you're
suffers.
You're able to focus.
They go down a rabbit hole with it. So then the internet becomes an endless source of information to keep focused on and tune out the rest of the world, which can be, you know, harmful to socialization and relationships and all that. But, you know, as a writer, it's good. Do you have a job?
I'm an author.
No, I understand that. I'm an author too, but I know, I know plenty of New York Times bestselling authors who aren't making much money these days. So I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of a skeptic on that one, to think that being an author is paying your bills if you are indeed living.
No,
but look, he's 17. He's still got a long way to go.
Are you still living at home?
Yes, I am.
Your parents must be very proud of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No job yet, but I'm looking into that.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, at this point, you can really put all your effort into your career. And you've already shown that you've got talent, you've got the desire, you've got the wherewithal to do this. And that's very, you know, admirable, because I don't see that much happening with many teenagers. You know, it's sort of like, I mean, even people in their 20s, they don't even know where they want to go.
Right.
You know, so,
yeah. Well, I think, like I was talking about, while I do daydream a lot, I definitely couldn't have made this book without the inspiration coming from video games I would constantly play, or movies that I would constantly watch, or books that I would constantly read. I think that's kind of like, if you're that enveloped in those kind of things, then take advantage of it, you know, like start thinking about how you can apply that to yourself and think more than what other people have created. Try to make something new, I guess. That's
right. Yeah, you got to stand out. Yeah. You got to innovate. You know, you got to be different. We're talking to Harley Zedmona, calling us from New York. The book is Our Guardian Renegade. And now, did you include any graphics in there? I mean, you said you're a comic book fan and everything. Is there any graphics in the book?
Yeah, so I actually spent my last summer commissioning over 25 artists to draw illustrations for all the characters in the book.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of different kind of styles in there. There's a lot of different characters, designs. So, yeah, they all have illustrations.
Oh, how cool is that, man? I'm looking forward to seeing this book. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to click on this right now to see it on Amazon, which I forgot to do. So what I wanted to ask is, hold on, what am I doing here? I don't want to have sounds happening here. Okay, so I see our Guardian Renegade, they've got your back. Is it a pretty long book? How long is the book? How many pages?
Let me see. It's like average length. I think it's around 450 pages.
Yeah, 466 pages. Man, that's a lot of work. You know, that's a lot of writing to do. So it took you like, what, 3 years, you said, to write this?
Yeah, about 3 years to really finalize it. And then the last year I've been constantly kind of working on editing over and over again and then promoting it when that was done. So.
Right. Very cool, man. I'm really impressed by your work. Harley Zedmona, the book is, like I said, once again, Our Guardian Renegade. You can find it on Amazon easily. And sounds great for the younger generation who love this stuff. I know you have a huge potential market out there, so I congratulate you for that. What's next for you? Are you working on another book now?
Yeah, so I'm definitely working on the next book in the series right now. As I was saying, my girlfriend is also co-writing the series, so she's going to come out with the next book.
Oh,
wow.
So yeah, we got a lot of plans for this series.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Well, Harley, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people how they can find more about you on social media. Do you have presence there?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, Harley_Zed.
Okay.
And you can also find my book's page on Facebook. And Instagram is where I'm more on. So if anyone has any questions or wants to kind of talk more about anything,
That'd be awesome.
I'm open.
Yeah, very inspiring gentleman here. Harley, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And much
thank you so much, Sam.
Of course. Much continued success to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, very inspiring. Mm. You know, I mean, God, how many people do you know at this age that actually come up with this stuff?
I was that person, yeah. But when everything he's talking about, though, as great as it is, has been done a million times before. You know what I mean? It's not.
But, creating different worlds and
stuff? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's been done, but so has everything else in a book.
Exactly,
you know?
And I'm really glad that he's doing that. And it's really cool that video games spoke to him.
Yeah, I mean, some people have a hard time telling stories in this world from things they know.
Sure.
So, you know, that's a lot of imagination.
It's a lot of imagination.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Bitcoin has lost a third of its value in 24 hours.
Imagine that,
right? After it jumped to $20,000.
The Ponzi scheme, yes.
Yeah, it jumped to $20,000 and it's down to $12,000. So it lost 25%. And
anybody who got in when it was on the race, anybody who bought as it was escalating into 15,000 and all that, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Because the risk was huge on that.
Right.
And that's what happens in those very volatile situations, you know.
But if you're there in the beginning, that's usually when you make money.
If you got it for a buck or a couple of cents.
Right.
And my husband actually knows somebody who did.
Really?
And forgot about that bank account, forgot about that. And then one day looked at it and it was worth millions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where were we, goddammit, when I read about this thing? I mean, I'm still not ready to invest in something like this.
Well, it's an early thing. It was speculative money that you would have put in, like, you know what? I'll put $100 here at 50 cents a share.
Yeah, right.
Or 20 cents a share. I remember when Bitcoin was like a penny.
Right.
And all the news, like all the news surrounding, financial news surrounding it, all the skeptics were saying, it's not even worth that.
Yeah.
You know, so don't even put your money in it. But if you were just looking to throw some money into an investment, quote unquote investment like that, then, you know, would have been amazing.
Right. That's the thing. You know, it's like the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward.
Really,
you know?
What it means is that there's going to be a lot of dopey millionaires and billionaires out there.
Well, yeah, but. You know, so they have
who didn't make the money out of anything, just a speculative risk, a roll of the dice, which is amazing. And I so wish I was one of them.
And that's capitalism. I mean, that's how most people make their money, speculation, real estate, you know, and stock and shit like that.
It's kind of like...
But you got to be that kind of a player, you know? And I've never been that kind of a player. Like, for example, every time I used to get stock... I would watch it every 5 minutes. I mean, you have to sit on this for years. It makes you crazy.
Well, then you're not the right person.
No, I'm not. I'm not good to invest in
stock. But that's the whole point of a speculative play, is that you don't expect to make money on it anytime soon. You're just throwing a couple bucks in there and see what happens.
Exactly.
But in this case, you can't throw a couple bucks because, I mean, I do know somebody who bought it at 9,000. And then sold it at 12.
Yeah.
And it, you know, like, so it's not, you know.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I used to have some Google and Apple stock, and compared to now, it was cheap, you know. But that's what I said. Eventually, I sold it, you know. So I figured, hey, I made some money. Let me go ahead and sell it. And, you know, you got to sit on stock, you know, if you can, if you don't need the money.
Well, unless you're a trader. Unless you're a trader or a swing
player. Well, yeah. Trader is something else.
Yeah, swing players hold overnight, traders don't.
You have to know what the hell
you're
doing. Yeah. You better know what the hell you're doing.
Well, you must know what the hell you're doing, or else you're throwing darts.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to have an idea of the stock that you're putting money in. And if you're a trader, you're really just looking at a chart.
Right.
And you have to be really, really good at understanding what the chart is saying.
Right. No, I mean, that's why they get paid the big bucks, you know?
Or they may not get paid the big bucks, but they make the big bucks because they're trading every day. They don't sit.
No, but I mean, many people trade for other people, you know, whereas like...
Oh, yeah, if you work for a company.
Right. So you're talking about individual...
Yeah, there's more individuals probably than people who... I mean, when you're trading for a company, you're executing trades that somebody else is telling you to do, and you're working off of algorithms.
Well, yeah, but they don't always tell you what to do if they trust you, but you do play with other people's money. That's a lot of responsibility.
It's a tremendous amount of responsibility, right. And I actually don't think that financial managers, like you're talking about, trade in their client's account. Right. I think that they place bets on, you know, I mean, years ago, I had a financial manager, and I won't say the name of the company, but it's one of the biggies, and he lost money for me.
For you,
and
right?
And then had the nerve to charge a fee at the end of it. Yeah, that's when I said I will never ever pay anybody to manage my money again. And
with the internet, like you don't have to. Yeah,
right. But it's been like a 17-year journey of understanding the market and becoming a self-directed trader, which I do. And I haven't traded in a couple of years significantly because it takes attention. You have to be able to give it that kind of attention. You can't just log in to your account and go, this one.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah, you know?
I mean, you could, but it's rolling the dice. It's throwing a dart. So why not, you know, at least have some rules in place? So it's taking me a couple of years to actually put a solid set of rules in place. So when I am ready to trade again, I have some rules that I can follow as far as a setup,
right.
As far as inflection points,
right.
Things like that are important to understand about if trading is because you understand how to read a chart.
Well, like everything else, you better know what the hell you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's very specific. There's charts are not like, it's like reading tea leaves sometimes. You look and you're like, I have no idea. It's a 50-50 gamble. But if you actually look at how the money is playing, you can see on the chart where investors come in and where they leave. Right. And where I used to want to buy, try to search for the lowest price because I was so afraid of losing money that it was like, I got to wait until this thing bottoms out, you know, right. Which is not always right.
No, because, you don't know if yeah, it's bottoming out.
Right, you don't know that. Yeah. But a lot of times when the stock bottom out, they don't spring back.
Right,
well,
exactly.
So you end up waiting a long time to make your money back. So the point is to watch the activity over 20 days, over two days, over 10 days.
The lesson is to understand it's not an easy thing.
It's not an easy thing.
You're more likely to lose than to gain if you don't know what the hell you're doing. Right. You know. Anyway, I wanted to go to the part about the UN voting about Jerusalem the other
what
day,
happened?
Yesterday. Okay. So as expected, the whole world is against Israel, of course.
So
nothing has changed, right? Now, so let's, you know, instead of talking about whether it's right or wrong, I mean, the Jews have had Jerusalem as their capital or as their holiest place for 3,000 years, blah, blah, blah. But okay, let's not talk about that. But my question is this. What the fuck is the UN know about any of this? And how do they even feel they have the audacity to tell the U.S. what to do with its embassy? You know what I'm saying? I mean, the fucking U.S. wants to move it. You know, so where did they get off? But the bigger question, Kay, is this. If you look at the Arab world, okay, 57 countries, you know, whatever. That's a huge area. Huge area that they take. Israel is like a little thumbtack in there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, I know.
It's a little
it's
little
a little
grain,
thing.
Right?
Yeah.
But they say we're occupying their land. So my question to you is this. Do you really think it's about land?
No, not at all.
Okay, so what do you think it's about? Why do people hate the Jews so
okay,
much?
Okay, you know what? I don't think... you can't say people, because I certainly...
No, not... Okay, I'm not saying everybody. Of course not. But let's say... Look, you have to admit this. This is almost like in the genes of humanity, this anti-Semitism. And let me tell you why I say that. Because you'll ask people, why are Jews bad, or why don't you like Jews, or whatever. They don't know.
Right.
They just heard.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the atrocities against Jews.
But this is what I'm saying. It goes back to that.
Right.
You know, the Catholics and the Protestants are never going to like each other. So,
right.
And that goes back, what, 600, 700, 800, 1,000 years?
Right. But you know, we're talking about thousands of years here, you know?
Right.
That the Jews have been
the Holocaust really screwed things up.
Well,
I mean,
that was the top
to make,
of it.
I mean,
that was like the apex of all the abuse, you
exactly,
know?
But there's, just like with religion, any kind of religion, once it sets in your brain, it makes you form very solid opinions about other people and the world.
Right.
It is brainwashing at its finest.
Right, but why did they pick on the Jews? Why do you think the Jews?
Well, I think at one time, I remember, you know, like in the 80s, Israel was a threat to the U.S.
When?
I just remember in the 80s. Like, I just remember Israel was the place that you don't travel to. Israel
a threat
was
to the U.S.?
A place where lots of violence was happening. I'd say
but it wasn't because of the U.S. I mean, it because of the Arabs being hostile.
Benjamin Netanyahu was maybe not a fully trusted or liked individual. I think he was a person of controversy.
Right. Still is.
Still is.
Right.
And, but, you know, I see him in interviews over the past two decades, and he seems like a perfectly nice person to me.
Right.
You know, but there was always this sense that he represented a threatening nation.
Right.
Now, and
A
threatening nation.
You see, and how threatening can Israel be? I mean, it's smaller than New Jersey, for crying out loud.
It's required to join the military.
Right.
It? Yeah.
You know, so, because you have to.
Right.
And there we have to win. Israel has to win every war.
Right.
Because one loss is it.
Right. But this is it could have very much been nothing more than a PR spin that was up someone
else's
political agenda.
It's just like the blood, what they call them? Blood something. Okay. But they would tell the Jews, like back in medieval times, even more recently, much more recently, that Jews were killing Christian babies to make matzah out of their blood. I mean, I'm telling you, this sounds funny, but this happened for hundreds of years.
African Americans deal with it every single day, too, and it's strictly because it starts from the color of their skin. It starts from the fact that they weren't native to the U.S. It's the, look, things.
But why? But let's not.
In the 80s, it was super, super popular to be Jewish. Let me just tell you that right now.
Maybe in America.
Because this
whole
area.
But the rest of the world, then I'm not just talking about Arab countries.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole fucking world, the whole UN is against Israel. What I'm trying to find out is
why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And what have you come up with?
That it's in the genes, it's in the DNA of humanity. Somehow people are born with that gene. Not everybody acts on it or it's like big, but it's sort of like
what threat
people
do you
don't
think
understand.
Israel poses, if
it
any.
Doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right.
And the Jews never have. They never had a country.
It's
they
a
never
beautiful
had a
country.
Government. They never had a military. So that's why they were easy scapegoats.
All right.
But why?
I figured
why
it
would
out.
Why would like Hitler figure just a couple million people was such a threat to him?
Oh, well, he was fucked up in the head.
I mean, but he's not the first one.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No. Because listen, Christianity, darling, is a dominating religion in the world.
Right.
And it is very powerful and very judgmental and very brainwashing and completely unaccepting of any other religion.
Right.
And it's that. Most of the leaders that we have had in the U.S. have been of the Christian, Catholic, or Protestant faith.
Right. But so Muslims, you know, they've not
Methodist
accepted.
Methodist or whatever, you know, Baptist. But it's not, you know, have we ever had a Jewish president?
No.
That's part of it.
Right. But the question is this because of... you know, I mean, the question still remains, you know, why is it that they, you know, what is it about the Jewish people that's different? You know, I mean, what
they're
is
not
it that
Christian.
Would make it? Okay, or Muslim,
right.
or anything else, right?
Right, right.
And so you're saying these are religions that actually want to convert people and
they
and
don't
execute.
Like a country where no Christians exist.
Right, and that was, you can look back at the Inquisition of the 13th, 14th, 15th century, and when they kicked out all the Jews from Spain in 1492,
right.
and they dispersed all over, but I mean, and that was just a big example of trying to convert the Jews or kill them or expel them.
Horrible.
You know.
It's horrible. So,
and that's what I'm saying, though. But you go back in time and it's still the same thing. It was always the Jews.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you is this. I think, okay, another question I have is this.
Uh-huh.
Despite all that, how do you explain that the Jewish people, despite all that, being so ancient... And really, the only ones that have survived.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, the ancient Egyptians are no more.
Right.
The ancient Greeks are no more.
Right.
All these empires have fallen.
Right.
But the Jews are still there. How do you explain that? I don't understand. And that's when it brings me. It's
Israel
only these questions.
Israel is considered a holy land. And when you consider a country a holy land, it takes on an
entirely... Then everybody occupies it, right?
Right, because, you know, we don't consider the U.S. a holy land or most countries a holy land. But Israel has held on to that reputation and that belief from the core of that country that it is a holy... It's where you go to pray. It's where you go on a sabbatical.
We've had two temples built here there in Jerusalem, you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of history for the Jews.
A ton of history, and it's gorgeous history and it's gorgeous landscape and it's wonderful people. It's ridiculous. Listen, when in the 80s, the richest kids here in the San Fernando Valley were Jewish.
Yeah, right.
And all the doctors, the dentists.
And that's why I think, that's why you have that anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
I think it's jealousy.
They were the ones driving the expensive cars.
Envy and jealousy.
They had the big houses in Sherman Oaks and Encino. They were all medical,
they always put emphasis on education. You know?
So I mean, wanted to be Jewish when I was a teenager. I'm like, God damn, why wasn't I born Jewish? Catholic sucks. There's no money in this. Yeah, it's just
right.
That was how I thought.
You know, but on the one hand, you have the dirty Jew that nobody, that everybody puts down. On the other hand, you have 150 Jewish Nobel Prizes and only two Muslim ones,
listen,
for example.
The bravery that it takes to dispel this horrible stereotype, this inbred hatred or animosity, negative feelings about anybody who is Jewish or Israel in general, it's horrible. And it you're very brave, and all Jewish people are very brave to stand by their religion. I think that pisses off the fundamental right.
That's probably Christians. Another one of the reasons.
Yeah,
you know, because
it pisses
they'd
them
go
off.
Like, why aren't the Jews converting?
They can't do anything about it. There was genocide, right. You know, and they still, and the Jews still came back, and they still made money, and they still populated, and they still believed in their. You can't, you know, you can't. It's right. That. It's that. It's well, I mean, right. in some.
But
ways,
just think also like. If for example, the Arabs had Jerusalem, uh-huh. would all religions be able to practice there? I doubt it. Oh. Very much so.
Oh, it would be worse.
Yeah, Jews would not be allowed, that's for sure. Maybe Christians would be. But how many Christians are really allowed on holy Muslim
the
grounds,
Arabs would
know?
Have taken away the holy Muslim and turned it into a casino. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah,
you
know,
right now.
But that's the thing is that Israel is made it available to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what people refuse to understand. And finally, I wanted to say that, you know, if people think there's going to be peace there, think about this for a moment. If the Arabs put down their arms, uh-huh. there would be peace.
Yes.
If the Israelis put down their arms, there would be no Israel.
Uh-huh.
Right? They'd be annihilated. So that's the problem here. You can see where the problem lies.
Yes, of course. But the U.S., I think
but
it's
they
the
don't
same
see
thing
it.
Here
the
in
UN
the U.S.
don't see it.
There's no way that we can go without having a strong and stronger military because we are under threat.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time. And so it's that same thing. It's the same. It's in line with what Israel has to defend themselves. They right. have to keep a military, and they have to
and
present
have
themselves to be a bit of a threat, which is horrible because otherwise it would be easy pickings.
It would be. But think, without a nuclear bomb.
Right.
And without, thank God, for the U.S.
Yeah.
as the only true friend. Okay. The only true friend. And if it weren't for that, there would be no balance in the Middle East. You know, Iran would be
That's
in charge.
Yeah, of course.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a balance. There's also a balance when the U.S. is strong.
Right.
I mean, we have 6,000 nuclear warheads. I mean, we can take this planet with us.
Oh, it's horrible.
Several times
it's
over.
It's frightening, yeah.
You know, so our enemies are not, even the North Korean.
Oh, yeah.
He's not that easily going to throw a missile here because he'll be evaporated, you know.
Yeah,
it's just every country that uses it's called mutual destruction, and they used to talk about that during the Cold War. But if you launch a bomb, you're assuring your own destruction too, because you know the enemy is going to throw
For
one
sure.
back
it's
at
totally
you.
Totally stupid,
right?
Yeah.
So that's what's keeping the balance.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, because everybody's afraid,
right?
But you know, look, we have much bigger threats to worry about, and that's Joe Blow who was mentally ill and gets a gun
right.
and with a plan.
That's
you know,
true.
I mean, our genocides are happening in real time,
right?
And with no warning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I am fearful everywhere I go now. Everywhere
really?
I go.
You feel afraid.
Yeah. Wow. Because I look around I immediately assess the people around me. Yeah. I immediately zone in on the people that to me look like they could go postal.
Uh-huh.
And I immediately look for exit plans. I mean, it's horrible, but right. I have a strategic brain.
Do you have some like self-defense tool or something?
Skills? I can kick a motherfucker in the balls like nobody's
really?
Business. I'll
but
tell
you know,
that right
they
now.
Have those claws.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of those?
No.
Yeah, it comes out like a Wolverine claw.
Oh, I need that.
You need that.
I totally need that.
And carry that in your purse.
Hell
or something.
Yes. Put it know? On.
Yeah.
Mess with I mean, me. I would use it at the grocery store.
It make you feel
store,
good.
Though. Yeah. Because I can't stand when I get behind somebody at the grocery store who's writing a check.
That's not what it's meant for.
I want to beat them up. I was like, welcome to the new millennium. Like,
people
get
still write checks
rid
at the
of
grocery
those.
Stores?
What are you Whoa. Doing? There should be a line for people that it's checks only because it takes a long time. It takes them a long time to write it.
Yeah, yeah.
They write it there on the spot.
I know.
They think about it. Those are the people who want to scrutinize the
yeah,
entire
well,
grocery.
Well, that's another planet, another generation.
I'm just trying to lighten up the subject. It is.
Yeah,
it is the Friday before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody go
How's
out there.
How's your Hanukkah, by the way?
Hanukkah's fine, but I've been doing some shopping for myself. You know, this holiday season
that's
makes you
right.
always want to buy things.
That's
right? So actually, I went to a store last night, and there was an express line. It said five items only.
Uh-huh.
I was third in line, but in front of me, there was a family with a million people, a full cart. I said, watch how they're going to each one of them take five items, right? That was Nordstrom Rack.
Nordstrom Rack. I hate Nordstrom Rack.
But I've never been. So I thought, let me give it a shot. Because
It's a glorified Ross is what
it really is, right?
Same exact where you have to like pick the clothes off the floor.
So I thought, these people are going to abuse this express line. I'm going to the main line. The main line was so long.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I thought, I'm leaving here. I don't need this bad.
Oh, yeah.
I went back to the express line and I saw they told them, the family, you can't stay in this line. I was like, oh, thank God.
Justice.
So in 5 minutes, I was out of there. Thank God, you know?
I've been in Ross's where I stand in a line so long that I start tweeting about, I'm going to die here. You know, like, the music is awful. They never play good music at Ross or TJ Maxx. It's the kind of music that makes me want to go insane.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the worst pop music you've ever heard.
And you'd think it'd be, like, good, something that want to make you stay in the store.
Right. Yeah. But they have it's just the worst.
Yeah.
And every time I walk in, I feel sorry for everybody there. You know, like, I can't help it. I feel sorry. I feel like I need to apologize to the people who work there. I mean, you know, just they have jobs. It's all great. But I'm like, how do you do it? How do you handle this?
Well, you know what? When you have to have a job, sometimes you handle things you don't like. I used to do that a lot. But thank goodness now I do things I love. So there you go. Kay, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome once again.
We always love you here. Everybody have a wonderful holiday.
Yes. Be safe.
Merry Christmas. Take care of your loved ones. And if you don't have anybody, man, it can be depressing, I know. But go and pick up some weed. Smoke that. That'll make you feel great, I assure you.
There are plenty of Twitter girlfriends for you to make friends with.
There you go.
Follow some porn stars on Twitter.
Right. Porn stars indeed.
That's my holiday wisdom.
Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you all here
next week. Have a
good weekend. Bye.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.